This morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we will read in verse number 1. Somebody said this morning, "Sir, are you going to cut it short today?" I said, "No, not going to cut it short." I heard somewhere today that there's a church having a big screen up behind them and doing something and having ball game day and then lunch. And that's okay if that's what they want to do. I'd just rather have church. I'd rather have what we're doing right now is to watch any ball game as much as I like ball. And I watched a good ball game yesterday, and I didn't care who won, who lost. You take North Carolina and Duke, I don't care who loses. Wish both of them could. But you know, that's the things that the world has to offer us. But I'm glad God has given us a world of truth. And this is the most important thing that we have before us. And what we have lasts eternally. And thank God this morning we have something to rejoice in Him and to thank Him for. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Notice verse number 12. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Here we find the Apostle Paul tells about these folks that first gave of their own selves to the Lord. If we want to do something for the Lord, we've got to first give ourselves. It cannot be just interested in what we have and what means we have and what ability we have, but if we can just give ourselves, that will take care of it. As I said earlier, we are entering into this month of March is always our mission month. We emphasize missions, have our missions conference, and we thank God for that opportunity. And we want to try to bring some messages along the line of missions. And these are things that we know. These are things that we've heard. God has blessed us bountifully with understanding and doing. And for the size of congregation we have, God has abounded upon us many things that we can rejoice in Him. I want us to think this morning, the church's main mission, and I believe the church's main mission is missions. I believe that's why God put us here. I believe that's why God placed us in this region. I believe that's why God places other churches in their areas, because we are to be mission-minded. You may not know this, many of you probably do, but the word mission or missionary, missions, is not even found in the Bible, but yet we talk about it all the time. The word is not there, but certainly the thought and the pattern of missions and the pattern of giving is there, given to us even by God giving His Son. Though the words are not in the Bible, they have sure become a part of our Christian vocabulary, as the word Trinity has. That's not found in the Scripture, or as the word rapture we have noted so many times. These are words that we have used to describe certain philosophy, certain teachings that are given to us in the Word of God. Though the word mission is not found in the Bible, it is for certain illustrated and commanded in the Scriptures. It is my conviction, I believe it is the conviction of this church, that the Bible is not only a book about theology, or the theology is the study of God, but it's also rather a record of the theology and missions, what God does in action on the behalf of salvation of mankind. What God would do for us, and what God did for me and for you as a believer, that would bring to us the understanding and the knowledge that God loves us and gave Himself for us. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. You ought to underline that word, long-suffering to usward. I'm glad, thank God, He longs and suffers long with us, and He doesn't cut us off, and He doesn't throw us away. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And so we find that God desires and has made the made us able, that whereby we can believe upon Him and trust Him. And so if we have had that opportunity, I believe we are to give that opportunity to the world that they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the heart of Christ. That missions is the very heart of Christ. We have out front and have had that there for a number of years. The heartbeat of the church, I believe, is missions. That's why we give. That's why we go. That's what we do, because we believe that it is not just the heartbeat of the church, but I believe it's the heart of Christ. That the Lord, He tells us in John chapter 4 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now there was two routes to go to Jerusalem. There's two ways of going. One was to go through Samaria, the shorter route. But the devout Jews, they were very prejudiced toward the Samaritan people, and so they would take the longer route around the area called Samaria. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. There wasn't some blockage that He couldn't go the other way, but there was a woman that needed to hear the gospel. And Jesus knew that, so therefore He went. The must of that text is not imposed by restrictions, but the must there is given to us because of that woman that had a great need that Jesus could supply, and He could tell her, I can give you the water of life and you'll never thirst again. That is our mission. That is our message to tell the people of the world that there is a way of life and there is a way of quenching the need and the thirst and the longing of the soul. This route through Samaria was necessary. It was a necessary way because of that needy woman. His heart was so, I believe, filled with love for her that He went the route that no other Jew would take, because she had a need. And thank God He came to me one day. Thank God He came to you one day. He must needs go where you were. He had to be there, and the message had to be proclaimed, and the Word of God had to be given, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way of salvation through other than through Jesus Christ, and there's no other way of knowing about Him other than the Word of God. And so the mission and the heart of Christ is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God had only one Son, His only begotten Son, and He made Him a missionary. He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And so if that's the heart of Christ, that ought to be the heart of us. Jesus Himself made this statement in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. That's Jesus talking. Let's go to the next town, that I may preach there also. That means He'd been preaching already. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, that day we might have been one of those scoundrel Jews that would not hear, but we might have been one of those that would hear and receive. But it would have been a great thing to hear the words of God coming from the Son of God. And Jesus said there in that chapter of Mark 1, He said, let us go to the next towns, plural, that I may preach there also. And the Bible says, for therefore came I forth. That's why He came. That's why Jesus came to this world. And the next verse, verse 39, says, and He preached in their synagogues. He went right to where religion was. He went right to where the people were, and He preached unto them. And I believe the problem in America today is we have very little preaching. We have a lot of activities. We have a lot of ways to do. We have a lot of clubs, and we have a lot of things, but we have very little biblical preaching upon the Word of God. I don't believe we need to preach about the Bible. I believe we need to preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. That has been proven to be effective from the very beginning, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So missions is the heart of Christ. He said, let's go to the next town, and there I may preach. And the Bible says, and He preached. He went there with a purpose, and He fulfilled His purpose, and He preached in their synagogue. So missions is the heart of Christ, and secondly, missions is the hope of the condemned. A person does not have to do anything to be condemned. Somebody says, well, I've done all these things, but you don't have to do all those things to be condemned, because you are condemned. Condemned already. We find that the Bible in the book of Romans, turn there if you would, very familiar verses of Scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise that is. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be. That's an emphatic statement that is impossible to disagree with. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a positive statement. Every one of us in here this morning, there came a time, if you're saved, there came a time you called upon the Lord. Well, I don't remember all that I said, preacher. Well, guess what? I don't remember all that I said either. But I know I called on the Lord. It's not necessarily the words that I said, but it's the person I talked to. It's not what I did, it's what He did for me. It's what He accomplished in my life. And so the Scripture says here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a simplicity here of the gospel. Calling upon the Lord. Somebody says, well, it's awful hard to be a Christian. Oh, it may be hard sometimes to live like a Christian, but it's very easy to become a Christian. Just believe. Faith, believing. Repentance, faith toward God. And we find these words given to us. Verse 14 there says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? Here's the statements that Paul, he says, first of all, whosoever can call, they'll be saved. But how are they going to call? How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? Faith comes by what? Hearing. How is the world going to call upon the Lord if they haven't heard of Him? How's the heathen in Africa? And I'll tell you what, there's just as many heathen in America. I've tried to change my vocabulary sometimes because it's just not right. There's heathen in America as many as there are in Africa. Sometimes we get the idea that they're only heathen over there. No, they're heathen right here in Hopkins County. So how are they going to hear? How are they going to call if they've not heard? How are they going to do that? Paul gives us another statement here. It says, of whom they have not heard, how shall they hear without a preacher or a proclaimer giving the gospel? Here we find Paul gives us the simplicity of the gospel and the sufficiency of the gospel. But we find that so many times we find people that are just completely ignorant of what God says. We are living in a generation today that is not like what it was 10 years ago. You remember, you have to think now, we have gone two or three generations, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I was surprised he said he had grandchildren. He doesn't look that old. I look that old. He doesn't look that old. But we are raising generation after generation now that do not know and have not heard what we know and what we've heard. When we talk about faith, we know what we're talking about. But that fellow across the street may have no idea what faith is all about. When we talk of salvation, we know what we're talking about, but they have no idea. Because we have lived in a time span here that we have so degraded and downplayed religious things and gospel things that many people have not the vocabulary that we have. And we talk to them and they say, man, what's that guy talking about? Sometimes we have to get way down with adults of what we teach our children. Because they've never heard. And how are they going to call on the Lord if they've never heard? I'm talking about a clear presentation of the gospel. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about what the big churches do. I'm not talking about what the TV evangelists say. I'm talking about a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if they'll call, they'll be saved. But he gives us the problem here. How are they going to call if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear if there's nobody telling them? You see, missions is the hope of the condemned. Those that have been condemned and condemned already because they're sinners by nature, by choice, by practice, by action, those folks can never go to heaven unless somebody tells them the gospel. That's the hope of the condemned. Without the gospel, man is helpless. He's hopeless. And he's hell-bound. That doesn't go across too well in some places, but hell is still real, and that's where people go. It's not just a place of separation, it's hell. We don't need to be politically correct. We need to tell the truth. It's hell. Brother Chris was telling us this morning about can't say kill anymore. You've got to put down. Talk about animals. There's more money spent to save animals than there are spent to save babies. And one day, God will judge America for that. Who knows? We may be under the judgment of God right now. Oh, I have some preacher friends that make so mad when I say that. But if God did it to nation after nation after nation in the Old Testament, I believe God's still the same God. Therefore, we need to tell the wonderful story. Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, it's that way. Aren't you glad it's not the Baptist way? I'm glad it's the Bible way. Aren't you glad you can put every denomination you want to in there? I could sit here and call off many, many names. I'm glad it's not their way. I'm glad it's not my way. I'm glad it's His way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must. I must needs go through Samaria. Whereby we must be saved. And we must tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are ignorant of that. So many people are indifferent to that. So many people. The great question sometimes is asked, will the heathen be saved if we do not send them the gospel? I mean, there's been hours and hours and books and eternities of thought upon that question. If we don't send them the gospel, will they ever be saved? Or can they be saved? I think a greater question would be is, if we don't send them the gospel, are we saved? If we don't do it, we have a problem. Because that is the Great Commission. It's not a great idea. It's a great commission or command of God to go into all the world. So missions is the heart of Christ. Missions is the hope of the condemned. Oh, but lastly, missions is the health of the church. The health of Grace Baptist Church is what we do with our mission program. Our mission money does not go to pay our light bills. It does not go to fixing a roof, which we're going to do in about 3 weeks. Our mission money goes for the spreading of the gospel and all those things that are involved in that. And so it's the health of the church. Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This was the last command from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it must have been the dearest desire of His heart. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Salvation through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the opportunity of salvation, has been provided for all men. I believe it's a whosoever will gospel. I don't understand all the ins and outs and all the stuff is discussed and cussed and all that stuff, but I do know He came to die for sinners. And I do know that no one will ever come to God unless He calls them by His grace. And so we find that the health of the church is determined by what we do for missions. Only as a church fulfills her missionary obligation does she justify her existence. Now, I believe that. Number one reason Grace Baptist Church is in existence this morning and has been for these, this year will be 40 years, is the spreading of the gospel. And when a church ceases to do that, she has a hard time proving why she exists. The mission of the church is missions. The best remedy, somebody said the best remedy for a sick church is to put it on a missionary diet. That's pretty good. Our missionary back here, he's smiling. He's agreeing with everything I'm saying this morning. I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of churches. There's fewer and fewer churches that stand where we stand. I've said I'd hate to be a pastor looking for a church. I'd hate to be a church looking for a pastor. And I'll add number three to it. I'd hate to be a missionary looking for support. It's tough. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, in verse number 35, we must visualize. Jesus said here, John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." You don't have to look. You don't have to wonder and say, "Well, in 4 months it's harvest time." Jesus said, if you look on the field of the world, which is the world around us, harvest time is here. It's already white. That means it's ripe. That means it's ready to be harvested or it will be lost. Years ago when we lived in Benton, Kentucky, I had a friend that seemed like everything he did just did not work. He loved the Lord, but he just had terrible times making things work right. And he'd gotten laid off from his job. I think he worked at the, was it Goodyear? There in that area. And he'd gotten laid off, and so he decided he was going to plant a field of soybeans. Had a good crop. But then the rains came. And they kept coming. And they kept coming. And before long, he told me, he said, "There's no need of even going in the field. The harvest is lost." See, there comes a time when it's too late. There comes a time when there's no harvest there. So Jesus said, look on the fields, it's white already. It's a harvest. We must visualize. We must look. We must know. We must have an understanding that it's not going to be this way forever. One day is going to stop. And people are going to be lost. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37. He saith to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." We must agonize. Not only do we visualize and see, but we must agonize and pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest. That He would thrust them into the work. We must visualize, we must agonize, we must evangelize. Tell the world that Jesus saves. I read this somewhere. I've probably used it before. But the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. You know what a fossil is? It's an impression of what used to be alive. That's what a lot of churches are this morning. They're impressions of what used to be alive. When I was a kid, where we lived, there was a place that had big old boulders and rocks. And everywhere on those rocks, there was little fossils. You could see plants. You could see leaves. You could see every little thing. It's just an impression of what used to be alive. And a church that does not get involved in missions will be a used to be. If God wills the evangelization of the world and we refuse, then we oppose the will of God. Just that simple. If the business of the church is not our business, then the church has no business being in business. If we do not do what God tells us to do. I had heard this, and I looked it up last night just to make sure. But in the land between the lakes, not too far from here, there's a bridge that is across a creek. You can't drive to it because there's no road to it, but there's a bridge across the creek. You have to get out and find it. I watched a video last night of some folks that were looking for that bridge, and they found it. The government built that bridge back in the 20s. It was a symbol of pride and symbol of recovery during that day. Today the bridge is pretty much like it was in the 1920s. A little more rusty, a little more grown over. And there in the land between the lakes, there's no road to it. It carries no traffic. A bridge that doesn't carry traffic is a bridge in name only. A church that doesn't go with the gospel is a church in name only. Christ alone can save the world, but He has chosen not to do it alone. He has chosen the human instruments such as you and I to send the gospel, to pastor churches, to go into the world, to go to Alaska, one of our states, to go to Hawaii, one of our states, to go to Japan, to go to Korea, to go to... We have a missionary coming, our mission being going to Saudi Arabia. Now that's different. That's difficult. That's dangerous. And that's hard. But I believe if God's called him, there's somebody out there that needs to hear the gospel. We've got a couple of missionaries in Turkey. I made the same statement when they were here. If God's called them to that hard Islamic nation that has no idea what Christianity is all about, if God has called them, He didn't call them to waste their time. He didn't call them to just spend the Lord's money. He called them for a purpose, and there's somebody out there that they must needs go. I believe that's strong in the providence of God. Amen. And so if God's called us, then there are those that will hear us. And we get discouraged when everybody don't hear us. He's never told us that everybody would hear us. He's told us to be faithful. And if we're faithful, there'll be some that will hear us. The mission of the church, it's not to build gyms. Somebody said, didn't spend so much on missions, we'd have our bills paid off. The bills paid off. And we never backed off of our missions. It's not to have a school, and we have a school, a good school. It's not a perfect school, but we have a good school. The purpose of this church is not to have a building that everybody says, oh, look at that. We don't have that kind of building. We don't need that kind of building. The purpose of church is to tell people like you and me they need to be saved. That's why we're here. And may God grant to us the knowledge that the mission of the church is missions. That's part one. Part two is coming next week. Part three will be our missionaries. Brother, I appreciate you being here with us this morning. I love missionaries. I love missionaries. I don't even agree with all the things they do. That's between them and God. I probably wouldn't agree with everything I do either. That's between me and God. May the Lord help us to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Let's stand here this morning.